The message was marked as read, yet there was no typing in response. Instead, the door to Ash's room opened, and Ember walked in. She quietly closed the door behind her. She was dressed the same as their date from the other night. The beautiful green dress hugged her figure tightly, and her long red braid was draped over her right shoulder. Her makeup was done in a way that highlighted her eyes, which, instead of their normal green, were a sapphire blue for tonight.
"Hello, Ash. I figured it was fitting for me to wear what I was the night. I should have told you everything."
Ash sat on the edge of the bed and stared at her in disbelief.
"Ember, how are you?"
Ember smiled and held up a hand, stopping him.
"I'm sorry, Ash. I'm very nervous. Please let me say what I need to tell you, and then I will answer anything you want to know. If you still want me around."
Ember took a deep breath and exhaled with a shudder.
"Ember is a persona I made to stream about magic. Magic is rare in Beastkin. Our cultural structures back in Vaas made it difficult for knowledge to be spread and shared. Here, the internet makes it easy. So I hoped seeing a Beastkin teaching magic would inspire others to learn it."
She stroked the long braid of her hair affectionately before reaching up and pulling the red wig off, revealing the shorter black hair underneath. Then she lifted a wet cloth and removed the makeup from her face. A scar became visible on her right cheek as she did.
"I needed a persona to hide my real self. So Ember wore makeup, had long red hair, and used a different affinity for magic than what I typically did. Then, we both met you. Ember falling for you online as you learned magic, and my real self clashing with you. I didn't know, Ash. Not until the day you invited me in for coffee. I ran from our date because I thought you had pieced it together. So, no more secrets. This is me, the woman who loves you."
Phelan stood there, face clean, as hope and dread warred in her eyes, waiting on Ash. There was only one thing he could do in his mind. Ember, the woman he was in love with, had never existed. Ember was Phelan, and she stood right in front of him. She needed him. Ash stood and wrapped his arms around Phelan, pulling her into his embrace. She clung tightly to him and trembled. He took a deep breath of her scent, like cedar and earth. He looked into her eyes, losing himself in the blue pools of sapphire.
"You were right. I do know you better than I thought. A woman who's fierce and a fighter. One who's my warrior queen."
Their lips locked. He wasn't sure who made the first move, but he didn't care. Their hands wandered over each other's bodies. Ash's hands went to her ass, lifting her. Phelan let out a gasp and wrapped her legs around him. He took advantage of that to kiss her deeply. Their tongues intertwined as they kissed. He could feel the heat of her sex pressed against him through her panties, and the faint scent of her womanhood in the air released something primal in him. He gently threw her onto the bed and reached for his shirt, ripping it over his head and tossing it towards the corner of the room, his pants quickly following. Phelan worked her way out of the green dress, pulling it the rest of the way up. She was wearing a blue, lacy lingerie set under it. He took a second to take her in. Phelan was not a delicate flower. Her figure was that of a well-toned athlete, and she had several scars across her body. Ash was sure each one had a story, no doubt many she had earned fighting. She was still gorgeous. The scars just added to her beauty as they were a part of who she was. Like he had told her, fierce and a fighter. Phelan's eyes took his body in with a hungry gaze. They lingered on his hard cock, constrained by his boxers. Her gaze met his, and a pleading look told him how much she wanted him to take her. He joined her on the bed, climbing over her and pinning her hands above her. Her eyes shined as he did, and she took a sharp breath. He kissed the side of her neck, every so often giving her a bite instead of a kiss, then licking away the pain. She shuddered when he did that. Her legs locked around his waist, and she ground herself against his growing erection. She bit her lip and looked at him.
"Fuck me, Ash, fuck me," Phelan whimpered.
He let her go to pull his boxers off, her eyes fixed on his erect member, a hungry smile gracing her beautiful lips. Phelan moved to unhook her bra. Her breasts were not big, but more than a handful for Ash, her pink nipples erect with excitement. Ash pulled off her panties and spread her legs open. Her wet sex was on full display for him. A trimmed landing strip and her inner lips peeked out with a shimmer of wetness on them. He wanted to taste her. Using two fingers, he spread her lips apart, leaning in and sucking and licking on her clit. Phelan's hands grabbed his hair, moaning as he went to work. Her legs would twitch and try to close around his head, and he would push them back apart. Their back-and-forth game excited her as she moaned loudly while pulling on his hair. He looked up from her sex and locked eyes with hers before he moved back up her body.
"Fuck, I didn't bring a condom,"
Ash said with panted breaths.
"I took a potion, we're safe,"
Phelan answered, giving a seductive smile. Her arms wrapped around him and pulled him to her. She ground against him, encouraging him. He took hold of his cock and lined himself up with her. Phelan lifted her hips again, taking Ash's cock inside of her wet pussy. She leaned up with a moan as she took more of him in her. Their lips locked, and Phelan greedily devoured his. Soon they found a rhythm, and Phelan broke the kiss as she let out moans of pleasure. Her nails dug into his back, and she looked at him with a feral gaze. Burst training had made him used to pain, so even though he knew the nails had broken skin, he barely registered it. He paid her back with a playful neck bite before moving to tease her nipple. It was hard to maneuver in the twin bed, so Ash wrapped his arms around Phelan's back and lifted off the bed so he was on his knees, Phelan still on his cock. Phelan looked back at him with a smirk and used her strength to push him back onto the bed. Ash was on his back and Phelan was riding him, never losing their rhythm. Phelan raised her hips until her lips barely covered the head of his cock. Then she slammed her hips down, taking his full shaft inside her. She repeated the process, building up speed as she did. She looked at him, her face red and eyes filled with heat.
"Fuck me," she moaned. "Breathe me, Ash."
Her words tickled some primitive part of his mind. Giving in to her demands, he gripped her hips and started lifting her, only to slam her down harder on his dick as he stared at where they were connected. Phelan groaned and her nails dug into his chest. The room resonated with the sound of their flesh smacking together, and the air was heavy with the smell of sweat and sex. Ash could feel Phelan getting close. He moved one of his hands between them. Letting Phelan continue to ride him as his thumb worked on her clit, he could feel her pace start to stutter as she fell apart. Phelan let out a scream, then bit down on his shoulder, groaning as her sex milked his cock. Ash took control again, lifting her once, twice, then on the third time he held her down as he came into her. Phelan released her bite, her tongue licking the little blood that had pooled in the holes. She was breathing heavily and laid her head on his chest, her body wrapped around his, fingers tracing lines on his chest. Phelan leaned up, giving him a lustful smile as she dragged her nails down his chest.
"Well, after we catch our breath, do you want to fuck me against the wall?"
Ash growled as he flipped back on top of her, and he started kissing her. Phelan giggled as he did so. Chapter 12. Lily hummed happily to herself as she leaned against the tree. When she found it 2 years ago, it was a maple sapling, struggling to survive in the rocky soil the seed had the misfortune of landing in. She had transported it to better soil and infused her magic into it to speed up its growth. Now it was one of her favorite shade trees, especially with how colorful its leaves got in fall. Lily knew the moment the troll stepped inside her domain of the small woods around her house.
"Hello,"
Lily said cheerfully. The troll froze. Even in the dark of night, Lily could see the realization of what stood before him sinking in. The air became heavy with his fear, a delightful scent to her nose. Dryads were apex predators of the forests, so the fear fed some primal urge of hers. That was part of why Ash was so interesting to her. There was no smell of fear on him when she threatened him. He was not fearless. She had smelled fear on him many times, but never because of her. That was why she liked to pester him. She could poke him, and he would poke her right back. A man catching a dryad's eye was a dangerous thing. Had Lily been younger and still on Voss, she would have most likely tried to fuse Ash with a tree, turning him into a dryad husband. Now she was wise enough to know that would ruin what she liked about him so much. As a dryad husband, he would have just been a hard cock, kept alive and virile by the tree. No braiding her hair of his own volition, fretting about her well-being, or play-fighting with her. Just a piece of unmoving, mute, and deaf flesh for her to satisfy her lust and fill her with seed. The troll turned and tried to run, his mouth open to perhaps shout a warning to his friends. Vines grabbed and gagged him before he had taken a full step or uttered a syllable.
"Whatcha doin' being so sneaky?"
Lily asked as she watched a maple seed twirl to the ground in the moonlight. She knew exactly what he and his friends were doing here, but she was bored and figured she would play with her prey some. That would distract her from Phelan's wailing as Ash fucked her. Looked like she wouldn't get to wear Ember's wig to breakfast. Shame, she looked good in it. The vines constricted the troll's legs to the point that the bones shattered. He let out a muffled scream. He wasn't going anywhere, but she was feeling a little envious of Phelan, and he made a convenient outlet.
"I'm going to let you speak so you can tell me why you're in my woods,"
Lily said as she threw the maple seed in the air again and watched its descent. The troll's eyes darted around in panic as the vines loosened. Lily knew he was quickly considering what lie to tell her. His eyes hardened and he fixed a stern gaze at her. Lily knew the troll had picked bluster.
"We have 100 trolls waiting to set fire to your woods. Release me and give us the wolfkin and the human, then maybe we'll consider sparing you."
Lily rolled her eyes. Even if that was true, which it was not, any dryad worth her roots could manage a forest fire.
"Oh no!"
Lily gasped for dramatic effect. Vines creaked and slithered in the woods as dead trolls were lowered from the treetops. The scene had looked extremely badass in Treemageddon, and she was not disappointed. The troll pissed himself at the sight of his friends.
"You said it was just 5 of you, that you were the backup team in case the first team failed at the beach,"
Lily asked a dead troll propped up by vines. The vines snaked around the corpse's head and moved it up and down in a nod.
It was a little awkward, as the troll's neck had been snapped.
Wait! Is your friend lying?
She asked with a gasp. The corpse's head nodded again. Lily gave an exhausted sigh before looking back at the living troll with a carefree smile.
Well, I guess we are even. You lied to me and I was lying to you. I already know why you're here in my woods.
Vines shot into the troll's mouth, forcing it open. Lily pulled out a small vial of truthsayer potion and poured the whole thing down his throat.
All right, so you're going to tell me everything, and we will see how it compares to what the cosplaying banshee finds out.
Lily could not get a read on Silver. She could sense the curse that the banshee had placed on Ash, but the two were friendly, and she seemed to actually be teaching him magic. She smelled a new fear from the troll and looked curiously at him. Something she had said had made him afraid. Afraid of something other than her. A smile broke out on her face.
You seemed worried when I mentioned a banshee. Why is that?
Phelan's voice faintly resonated from the house as she started wailing again. Lily raised an eyebrow.
Seriously, again? What are they doing, chugging virility and stamina potions?
Ash flipped the pancake before checking on the bacon in the other pan. He had decided to make breakfast for the girls this morning. Last night had been amazing, and he was feeling pretty good, even with the bite and scratch marks. Phelan hung out near the kitchen island, eating bacon from the platter as he cooked it. She was wearing one of his shirts that swallowed the shorts she wore. Every time he looked at her, she would smile, and her tail would sway behind her. Lily was at the kitchen table, happily devouring the last of her chocolate chip pancakes. She could eat them almost as quickly as Ash could get another one cooked. The doorbell rang. Ash and Phelan both looked at Lily, who happily ignored it, her entire focus on the pancakes before her.
"I'll get it," Phelan said.
She kissed him and ran her hand across his back. He smiled as he also felt her tail lightly buff him as she went by. He managed to catch Lily's eyes roll at the display of affection. Phelan came back with Silver following her. Silver was looking curiously at the shirt Phelan was wearing and cast Ash a raised eyebrow. He just smiled at the banshee in disguise.
"Silver, you want pancakes or bacon and eggs?" he asked.
"Coffee?"
Silver said with a tired sigh. Ash quickly made her a cup. The banshee preferred it black, like him. Silver took it with gusto.
"There's another group of trolls in the district. They're the backup group in case the hit at the beach had failed. I spent all night trying to track them down to no avail,"
Silver said with an exhausted sigh.
"Oh, they're all dead,"
Lily said cheerfully as she held up her empty plate.
"I'm ready for my next stack, please."
The entire room stared at the dryad. Lily pouted after a few seconds of holding her plate up.
"I'm seeing a lot of stares, but not a lot of pancakes."
Ash sighed and put a pancake on her plate. She happily doused it with syrup and whipped cream.
"Care to give us some more details on how you know they're dead?"
Silver asked.
"I interrogated and killed them when they entered my woods last night,"
Lily said as she shoved a forkful of pancakes into her mouth.
"Wait, you were in a fight and didn't tell us? What if you had gotten hurt?"
Ash exclaimed.
"Well, at the time, the two of you seemed a bit occupied, fucking each other's brains out,"
Lily said with a mischievous smile. Silver cleared her throat and looked at Ash and Phelan. Both of them blushed and smirked.
"Well, I'm glad you moved on from Ember. She seemed like a bitch,"
Silver smiled as she nodded at Ash.
"Actually, I am Ember. She's a persona I use to stream online,"
Phelan said sheepishly. Silver grimaced.
"Clearly I'm the bitch. Sorry, Phelan,"
No, I deserve the bitch award. I'm just glad Ash knows now.
Sounds like he took the news well, seeing as you're walking a little bow-legged today.
Silver smirked.
Yes, he was a bigger man than I expected.
Phelan laughed. Silver cleared her throat again.
Well, congratulations, you two, but let's return to the dead trolls, Lily.
All right, I'll tell you. Jeez, don't lock me in a safe and throw me into the ocean,
Lily said with a mischievous smile. Silver narrowed her eyes and looked at Ash. He shook his head at her silent question. He was just as surprised as she was at Lily's odd turn of phrase.
I was trying to escape Phelan wailing like a banshee, so I patrolled the woods. Trolls showed up and I kicked ass, then shoved a truth potion down one's throat to kill some time. Learned a lot of interesting things,
Lily said with a sly smile. Silver stared at Lily with narrowed eyes. The dryad's smile just seemed to grow at her gaze.
You know,
Silver said with a heavy sigh.
I've always known what you are, but now I know who, Cleo,
Lily gloated. Ash's eyes locked on Lily at her words. She had just called Silver by a name he had never heard before, and there was recognition in Silver's eyes at it. The entire room stood in silence for a moment, as the three of them stared each other down. Phelan was the only one moving, casting confused glances at each of them.
Okay, I feel like we are not talking about the trolls anymore. What's going on?
Phelan asked. Silver broke her stare with Lily and let out a disgruntled sigh. Looking around the room, she finally came to a decision.
Not like I could keep this charade up much longer. Destry needs to be dealt with, and I can't wait around until I've recovered my strength.
Fog filled the room as she dropped her beastkin disguise. Phelan let out a yelp and jumped back in surprise at Silver's true form.
You're a banshee!
Damn it, Cleo! I wanted to use more of the banshee puns I came up with last night!
Lily pouted as she violently stabbed at her pancakes. Silver, or Cleo, rolled her eyes at the dryad.
Do the trolls or Destry know that I'm alive and free? No. At least the trolls I questioned knew nothing. They still believe you are at the bottom of the sea.
Cleo? As in, Councilwoman Cleo Blackthorn, the Nightmare Queen?
Phelan asked, wide-eyed. Lily nodded her head as she shoveled more bites of pancake into her mouth.
She is, but she's also very weak right now. That's why she cursed Ash. He's like an IV drip of magic for her.
Anger replaced the surprise on Phelan's face as she whirled and snarled at Cleo. A ball of fire appeared in her hand as she glared at the banshee.
You cursed my boyfriend!
Cleo locked eyes with Phelan and stared down at her.
Yes! And kept you from murdering him on the beach as well. Remember how that fight played out? Even weakened as I am, I'm still powerful.
The room became tense as the two of them stared daggers at each other. One wrong move and the kitchen would erupt into an all-out brawl between Phelan and Cleo. Of course, Lily couldn't care less as her attention was fully directed to her pancakes. Ash, however, quickly put himself between the two women. He gave Phelan his attention first. Silver, or Cleo, I guess, has a deal with me. Yes, she's taking a portion of my magic, but also is training me. Once she's recovered her power, she'll remove the curse. I'm also sure she's going to explain everything to us and tell us about the trolls that attacked you. He turned and faced Cleo. Right? No more secrets. Phelan gave one last glare at Cleo before extinguishing the fireball and leaning against his chest. Cleo nodded and took a nearby seat.
I am Cleo Blackthorn, or as I was known back on Voss, the Nightmare Queen. Until a year ago, I was sitting on the ruling council for Davos before some of my vassals, led by Destry, rebelled and trapped me in that safe. Destry is claiming I am in seclusion and that he has my voting power on the council. As such, he is in a position to influence Davos both externally and internally. The Frost Trolls are Sero the Bone Collector's men. He's the boss of District 71 and was one of my vassals who joined Destry. They are enslaving people for magic reagents, either as workers or ingredients, if they are from an innate magical race or have strong enough magical powers. The practice was common to his clan back on Voss, but I had forbidden it once he became my vassal. Destry is willing to overlook the unsavory practice if it grants him wealth and influence. Destry was a king on Voss and wishes to be one here, apparently.
Phelan went pale and clung to Ash tightly. He could feel her heart start to race as she pressed herself against his chest. He knew she was afraid for her sister. He wrapped his arms around her and held her. "Cleo, we need to help those people. Do we know where they're keeping them?" Ash asked.
"District 71. It's Sero's district, and is where the slaves Destry gets end up. The trolls I interrogated mentioned that the slaves wore collars to control them, but not how they were made."
Cleo frowned.
"We will not be able to free them unless we can figure that out. The collars are embedded with a banshee curse, according to the troll who was sneaking around in my woods. Apparently, the trolls have a few banshees that they force to curse the collars. I can make an alchemical solution that will break the curse upon contact. I've been studying breaking curses with potions since Ash brought you to my shop,"
Lily said.
"So, he didn't kill my sisters, just enslaved them." "The bastard,"
Cleo said, deep in thought.
"We can do this. Strike a blow to Sero, and then I rejoin the council, removing Destry's power there. That will weaken his little cabal, but will also be the same as kicking a hornet's nest."
"I am freeing my sister," Phelan said with determination. "They're already coming after us. I say we hit them back," Ash agreed.
Cleo stared at both of them intently, as if she was looking for any weakness in their resolve. After a moment, she nodded in agreement with them and turned to Lily.
"How long would it take you to make the solution? We'll need a decent quantity of it." "I can make you a few gallons in about 2 hours. I'll also give you plenty of healing and magic restore potions on the house. I would come with you, but without plants nearby that I control, I am not much of a fighter,"
Lily said with regret on her face.
"This sounds like more of a fight than a potted fern could handle." "Then we will leave tonight for District 71,
Cleo said with determination.
Chapter 13. The Calico Meat Packing Plant was once the main employer of the small town of Calico Ridge. When the plant was forced to close in the 1980s, due to poor management and embezzlement by its owners, the town went belly up as well. When the rifts started appearing, the abandoned town was turned into a refugee camp for paranormals, and then, a year later, when Davos was founded, it became District 71. Since its creation, the district has had a large population of frost trolls living within it, most of which are part of Sero's clan or under his control. There were few lights active around the plant, and to all appearances it looked mostly abandoned. Ash, Phelan, and Cleo watched from the shadows for a while to see if any patrols appeared. Cleo had wanted to come at night, since the place would be less active, but the fact there had been no patrols as of yet had been shocking.
"I don't like this," Cleo said in a hushed voice.
"Maybe Sero is just confident no one will attack him. Or maybe the trolls he placed here are just too lazy to keep up an appearance of guarding," Phelan replied quietly.
Cleo shook her head.
Either way, we keep to the plan. Once in, we split up and free as many slaves as possible. Avoid fighting. If you see a troll and are unable to silence them, flee and use your phone to message the group. If you get a message, then get out of there with everyone you were able to free.
They encountered no resistance approaching the plant, beyond an electronic keypad on the door leading into the building. Ash was quickly able to short it out with his magic, and the door swung open. Phelan's heightened beastkin senses, through hearing and smell, told her which way they would most likely find the enslaved people. They split up, with Phelan following the scent similar to beastkin's in hopes of finding her sister, and Cleo following the direction that Phelan could only describe as the smell of death magic. Ash took the remaining pathway. The first room he came to had rows of tables that looked more like butcher blocks, with bloodstains and cut marks covering them. Meat hooks hung from the ceilings every few tables. The room smelled strongly of bleach, and the floor had drains spaced throughout it. Ash felt sick as he took everything in. From what Cleo had said, this room was most likely used to butcher the people to make reagents. He hurried through a door into the next room. This one was a large warehouse with rows of shipping containers. The containers had been modified, like the ones in District 114, but instead of becoming homes, they were turned into prisons. Bars covered the entrances to the shipping containers as eyes stared out at him from the darkness inside them. The air was heavy with the smell of body odor and excrement.
"You are not a troll,"
a voice stated as a scaled hand rested on the bars of the cell.
"Don't draw attention to our cell. He may punish us all,"
someone said in a hushed voice in the back of the cell.
"If I am to be punished for merely stating the obvious, then we are all truly doomed, and death would be a better fate," replied the owner of the scaled hand.
As Ash got closer to the makeshift prison, he could see the individual more clearly. He was a lizardkin, the same as the rest of the individuals huddled together in the back of the container. The lizardkin that had first spoken watched Ash cautiously as he approached, more so when Ash lifted a bolt cutter to the lock on the cell.
"Yeah, not a troll and not a friend of Sarrow. I'm getting you out of here and somewhere safe,"
Ash said as the lock fell to the ground and the door swung open.
"You should leave quickly. The collar is cursed and prevents us from leaving the cell without a guard or removing it,"
he said as a long nail tapped the collar around his neck. Ash lifted a spray bottle that was hanging from a rope on his side. The bottle was covered in images of sunflowers, which Lily was very fond of. The lizardkin looked more confused as he gave the bottle a few squirts aimed at the collar. His eyes widened as the collar made a cracking sound and crumbled to the ground.
"My name is Jack, and I owe you a great debt,"
he said as his hand went to his scarred neck, as if in disbelief the collar was gone. The other lizardkins rushed forward at the sight of the collar falling apart and pleaded to Ash to free them.
"Silence! You will alert the trolls to our savior,"
Jack chided. Ash started moving through the other lizardkins, spraying their collars.
"I have yet to see any trolls. Do you know where they are and how many?" Ash asked Jack.
"Many. They have come here the past few nights to process the Ice Salamander clan Sarrow captured recently. Their race is skilled at ice magic, and Sarrow considers them valuable. He is overseeing his men to process them, instead of forcing us slaves to do his gruesome work. Tonight, they murder the last of the clan."
Jack gestured to a door far in the back of the warehouse. A light was visible through the glass window of the door. Ash looked at the light, and his mind was flooded with the memories of the previous room. He handed the spray bottle and bolt cutters to Jack.
"Free everyone. I have friends doing the same on the other side of the building. Meet up with them at the entrance once you're done."
"I'm going to see if there's anything I can do to help the Ice Salamander." "What is the name of our savior, so I may tell the others?"
Jack asked. "Ash, please get everyone out, Jack.
The Lizardkins, under Jack, worked to free the rest of the prisoners, as Ash made his way to the back of the warehouse. As he got closer, a new odor started to overwhelm the smell of bodies and excrement, the putrid stink of rotten meat and blood. He froze when he found the cause of the smell, a dumpster set off to the side of the doors he was heading to. Trepidation filled him as he lifted the lid, only to quickly close it before vomiting. The dumpster was filled with mutilated body parts, skinned and butchered of anything Sero and his trolls considered valuable for reagents in potions or magic items. Anger filled him as he made his way to the door. His body shook from it. Carefully peering through the window, he saw the room behind it. Frost trolls moved around under the watchful gaze of a rather large one, wearing items made of bones with runes carved in them. This had to be Sero, the bone collector. Ash had only given him and his trolls a quick glance before his eyes locked on the woman curled into a ball on the floor, guarded by a few of the trolls. She had untamed, light blue hair and blue spots on her pale skin that Ash soon realized were scales. A long reptilian tail was covered in those blue scales and wrapped around herself protectively. The trolls were setting up a table similar to the one Ash had seen when he first entered the plant. They were even hanging a meat hook nearby on the rafters and laying out knives of various sizes. Coolers with ice were being placed around the table. The poor girl didn't have much time before they would kill her and mutilate her body. Ash's fists clenched, and he gritted his teeth. He wanted to barge in there and save her. That would be suicide, though. There were too many enemies. He could contact Cleo and Phelan, but the plan was they would flee if they ran into the trolls, and he was sure Cleo would still call for that, even if it meant sacrificing this girl. Burst training allowed him to build up one powerful attack. Perhaps he could take out Sero, but then the rest of the trolls would swarm him. He would need something longer-lasting to even hope to deal with all of them. He thought about the winch from the pier. He had used a technique Phelan taught him as Ember, the one where he would flood his muscles with magic to enhance his strength. What would happen if he combined both that technique and burst training? A ton of pain and the possibility he would blow himself up, most likely. He looked back at the girl in the room curled into a ball. And then he looked at the dumpster that contained the remains of her family that the trolls had no use for. He remembered the cages behind him and the state of the Lizardkins. All of this would be what waited for Phelan if they took her alive, or any of his friends that were targeted by Sero and his trolls. He would not allow that. He sent the girls a quick message, telling them to get out with whoever they had and to not wait for him. Then he started funneling his magic into his muscles, bones, and skin. Pain filled him, and his body burned as if it was on fire, but he kept his eyes on the dumpster, using rage to push through the pain. Lily had given him 10 magic restore potions, and he planned to use them all. By the 7th, he could see small bolts of lightning jumping off his skin as if he were a living Tesla coil. The 9th had the air crackling around him, and the sound was even alerting some of the trolls. He finished the 10th potion when a troll opened the door to investigate. Ash threw a punch. His fist flew faster than his eyes could follow and turned the troll's head into a blood smear against the door. With the door open, Ash walked in. Several of the trolls backed up at the sight of him, and Sero's hands went to one of the rune-covered bones he was wearing. Ash's body was a whirlwind of pain, and he could even taste blood in his mouth. Only his anger was allowing him to move and ignore the pain. He saw the girl look up at him. Her eyes were like a serpent, but even with their alien appearance, he saw in them pain and hopelessness. She had given up hope,
and accepted her fate at the hands of these trolls.
You will not hurt her! I will kill you all!
Ash said, his voice sounding almost like static as the words came out. The dam burst, and blind rage consumed him. Phelan was on her third cage before she found her sister. She had already freed some of her old gang members that Ray had sold as slaves to Destry and Saro. They thanked her for the rescue and asked if Ray was still alive. Most were happy that she was dead, and a few were disappointed they could not do the deed themselves. She also encountered several of her old gang members who were loyal to Ray, the same ones she told to leave District 114. The trolls had not thought much of them after Ray's death. They hung in the back, hunching over and fearful of her gaze. She contemplated leaving them, but she was not Ray. She freed them, though she had several of her old gang that were loyal to her keep a close eye on them.
I'm sorry. I never should have betrayed you. I was a fool to follow Ray. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
One of Ray's old followers sobbed as she removed the collar.
Try anything, and I will kill you,
Phelan warned. The beastkin nodded her head in understanding, eyes wide with fear. Luna was waiting at the bars of her cell when Phelan arrived. Her sister's tail was wagging, and apart from a few scars, her sister seemed to be hale. As soon as the door was open and the collar off, Luna wrapped her in a hug.
Phelan, I knew you would find me. I'm sorry we fought. Ray did this to me and everyone else.
Luna sobbed as she buried her face into Phelan. Phelan ran a hand through her sister's hair. It was longer now than it had been originally. Luna liked to keep her hair even shorter than how Phelan normally styled hers. However, Phelan only kept hers so short, since long hair could be a vulnerability in a fight.
Don't worry. Ray is gone, and I'm getting you out of here. The fight we had doesn't matter anymore. Whatever was said, I forgive you. I'm taking you home, Luna.
Phelan only broke her hug from her sister when she felt her phone go off. Even then, it took her brain a minute to register the urgency of it. Ash, get everyone out of here. Don't wait for me. Phelan, stay safe. Phelan stared at the message from Ash. Her blood turned cold in her veins at the words. Quickly, she typed out a response. She could already see the dots on the screen saying Cleo was doing the same. Cleo.
Bullshit, Ash. We are leaving together. Don't do anything stupid. If you need help, we will help you.
Phelan.
Ash, what is wrong? Where are you?
The sound of thunder echoed loudly through the building as Phelan waited for a response from Ash. Those she had freed looked nervously around as the sound of thunder echoed again and again throughout the building. Then the far wall shattered. Troll bodies flew into the room from the hole in the wall. Several were dead, just smoking corpses with glazed eyes. A few were wounded, and fewer were unable to stand. A troll larger than the others held a piece of bone with a glowing rune in front of him. The air rippled before it as if it was an invisible shield.
Get my sword, you fools! I'll try to stall him!
The large troll that Phelan was sure was Saro shouted. Trolls started to run as a flash of blue light collided with the magic shield and sent the large troll staggering back. A man stood before him, throwing punches at the magic shield. Lightning danced around his body. A savage snarl was on the man's face as he hammered the shield with his fist, his eyes glowing bright blue.
Who the hell is that?
Luna yelled. She clung tighter to Phelan and tried to hide behind her. Some of the people she had freed even slipped back into their former cells for protection as the fight took place. Phelan recognized the man instantly. She quickly took a picture and sent it to Cleo. They would need her. She looked at Luna's fearful face and did her best to give a reassuring smile.
"That's my boyfriend," she said.
Chapter 14. The picture went through, and Cleo started typing instantly. Phelan was sure she had heard the sound of thunder as well and connected it with Ash. While she waited for Cleo's response, Phelan looked at the trolls that had been wounded by Ash's lightning attack. She thought she would need to finish them off, but Ash was not alone. Through the shattered wall streamed lizardkins. Those armed with knives fell upon the wounded trolls with savagery and revenge. Another group followed a lizardkin carrying the sunflower spray bottle Ash had been given by Lily. They made their way to the cages and started freeing those inside. The last group stood guard around a woman with light blue hair and patches of blue scales on her body. Phelan recognized her race as an ice salamander. She had a blanket wrapped around her body and watched Ash with an intensity, while the lizardkins around her watched their surroundings closely for any threat that might come to her. The way she watched Ash made Phelan feel uncomfortable, but that thought was distracted by her phone going off. Cleo.
How the hell did he use the burst training and keep the magic in his body? That much magic could kill him. I'll try to drain as much as I can from him once I get there.
Phelan had an idea of how he had done it. She guessed he had combined the training method of Cleo with the strength enhancement method he learned from Ember. That was her own creation, something that suited Beastkin's natural tendency towards melee combat. Faye preferred range and tended to look down on melee, so it was not surprising they would never consider enhancing the muscles and bones with magic.
"Your boyfriend!"
Luna gasped.
"He's a really sweet guy,"
Phelan said. Luna turned her gaze back to the fight taking place before them. The magic shield finally shattered under one of Ash's punches. He almost got his hands on Saro when one of his underlings threw himself between them. Ash quickly disarmed the troll. Literally, he tore the arms from the troll's body before crushing his head with a punch. The underling's life had bought Saro enough time to activate a bone rune that created another shield before him.
"You've only said good things to him about me, right?"
Luna asked nervously. Three armed trolls enter the room. Two rushed at Ash with weapons and armor on. The third carried a large bone sword almost as long as his body that looked to have once been the jawbone of a large wyvern. He made his way to Saro with haste. The two armored trolls tried to dance around Ash, but he was a lot quicker than Phelan had ever seen him. His fist collided with one's chest, knocking the troll back. The blow didn't kill the troll, but he convulsed from the amount of electricity that had been sent through his body. His friend was hard-pressed as he tried to keep Ash from finishing him.
"Keep him occupied! After I kill him, I'll harvest his bones myself. That much magic will create some powerful reagents and replace those I've lost in this fight!"
Saro said as he took the sword. The runes on the wyvern bone sword started glowing green as he drew it back to make a slash. Phelan's eyes widened as wind magic filled the sword. She quickly drew on her earth magic. As Saro slashed his sword down, unleashing the wind magic in a lethal vortex, she pushed a pillar of earth up through the floor, shielding Ash. A torrent of wind slammed against the pillar of earth, redirecting it toward one of the armored trolls Ash was fighting. The wind slammed into the troll and twisted his body unnaturally as he was thrown through the air. Deep cuts lined his body and armor. The remaining armored troll stared at his companion's unmoving body on the ground. Before he could turn his attention back to Ash, a shard of ice pierced the side of his head, and he fell to the ground, twitching. Phelan was surprised to see the ice salamander girl forming another ice shard in her hand as she watched the armored troll's life fade away.
Ash darted from behind the pillar and hurled one of his lightning bolts at Saro. The bolt caught Saro on the side, knocking him off balance as Ash dashed towards him. The leader of the trolls was unable to recover his footing before Ash was on top of him. Lightning-laced fists rained down on the troll as he tried to position the wyvern bone sword to attack, but the blade was too long. He quickly abandoned the sword as he sought any of the bone runes on his body to activate a magic shield. He had not realized Ash had torn those off of him when he first started throwing his punches.
"Help me, you fools!"
Saro screamed. There was no help for him. His men had been killed or were slowly dying, either by Ash or the roaming gang of knife-armed lizardkins. The floor was lined with bodies of trolls, and those who once had been in cages now stood out of them, free of the cursed collars and watching as Ash beat Saro. Ash grabbed Saro's head between his hands. The air became charged with electricity, and the lightning dancing from Ash's body grew more erratic. Saro screamed as a flash of light enveloped his head before it popped like an overripe melon. The sound of thunder echoed throughout the building. Ash collapsed shortly after, his body convulsing as the lightning still danced from it. Many started rushing towards him.
"Don't touch him!"
Cleo demanded. She entered the room with a dozen banshees following her. The banshees fell upon the dying trolls and drained the remaining life from their bodies as Cleo made her way towards Ash. Some of the lizardkins looked as if they were contemplating attacking her, but one look from her squashed any ideas of that. When she got close enough, the lightning jumped towards her, latching onto her. There was no pain on her face, and it took Phelan a second to realize the lightning was not attacking her, she was absorbing it. Cleo looked down at Ash and the body of Saro.
"You keep surprising me, Ash. Even if this was a reckless gamble, you managed to kill Saro when he was armed with Torrent, his prized sword. If you survive this, then I have big plans for you,"
Cleo said. The lightning finally faded from Ash, and Cleo put a vial of healing potion to his lips. She locked her eyes on Phelan once the potion was empty.
"Come get your man! He'll need to get to Lily quickly so she can start treating him."
Phelan made her way towards Ash, and so did the ice salamander girl, to her surprise. The two of them arrived at the same time and were able to lift Ash. Phelan narrowed her eyes at the girl, who paid no mind to her gaze. Cleo raised an eyebrow, but said nothing as she picked up Saro's sword she had called Torrent. Ash was looking rough, and Phelan let out a gasp when she finally took in the lightning-shaped burn marks covering his body. He had a rather large one that ran down the side of his face to his neck. She dreaded the damage that he had done to his insides. Hopefully, Lily would be able to heal him.
"My sisters and I will create a fog to hide everyone as we go through the portal. After, I must announce my return to the council, and that could take a few days. I will be in touch and expect updates on Ash,"
Cleo said as she leaned down and ran her hand through Ash's hair. The banshees worked together to cast a thick fog that followed the large group of freed slaves to the portal, just like Cleo said they would. A few of the beastkins that were native to District 114 went to reunite with their families, and others took the portal to other districts. Most of them, though, followed all the way to Lily's shop. Cleo must have let the Dryad know what had happened to Ash, because she was busy setting up potions and bandages by a cot. Vines shot forward as Phelan and the ice salamander girl opened the door, taking Ash from them. The vines placed him on the cot, pulling off his shredded clothes as they retreated. Lily quickly began examining him.
"He is covered in Lichtenberg burns. The amount of lightning magic going through his body to cause that is massive. Has he regained consciousness since his fight?"
Lily asked. Her playful nature was gone and replaced by a stern woman who knew her craft.
"No,
After the fight, he just collapsed and has been out of it ever since.
Phelan said as she ran her hand through his hair. Lily said nothing. Instead, she grabbed two potions and forced them down his throat. Then she started applying a healing salve before bandaging his burns. Next, she took a crystal and ran it across his skin. Blue light glowed within it. Finally, Lily stood up and put away the crystal and remaining potions.
That's the extent of what I can do for him. He will recover with rest, but some of the burns are embedded with magic. They will become scars that will never go away.
Phelan breathed a sigh of relief, a weight lifted from her shoulders. Lily gave her a gentle pat on the arm and a warm smile.
Now, let's get all those the two of you rescued someplace to stay. Like I said, I own this whole street, so I can open up a few of the buildings for them to stay in, at least for a bit.
Lily said.
I will stay here,
the ice salamander declared as she knelt on the floor by the cot. Phelan gritted her teeth. The way the girl looked at Ash had made her uncomfortable before. Now that they were away from the mass of people that followed them and the stink of the cages, she knew why. Beastkin senses were sharper than most other races, and hers were picking up a scent from the girl. Arousal.
I don't believe I've introduced myself to you. I'm Phelan. Ash is my boyfriend.
The ice salamander girl never took her eyes off Ash.
I am Naomi, the last member of the Frozen River clan. Forgive me, the translation ring did not give me a translation for boyfriend that is known among my people. Are you his friend or mate?
Mate,
Phelan said with a blush. Lily and Phelan shared a look. There were some terms and ideas that didn't translate well in certain languages, but even one afternoon of watching TV or browsing the internet would have bestowed the concept of a boyfriend or girlfriend. The quick understanding of ideas and concepts through translation rings was one of the ways paranormals had been able to adapt to this world so quickly.
You're an isolationist,
Lily stated. Naomi nodded. Phelan wanted to groan at the news. Isolationists were the paranormals that had secluded themselves from human technology and interactions with other paranormal races. Many clung to the hope that the rifts would undo themselves one day and transport them back to Voss. Others were fearful of the strangeness of technology and humans. That meant Naomi only had an understanding of her own culture and lacked the osmosis of human culture that had spread in paranormal communities since the rifts.
Sarah told my mother, the matriarch of the Frozen River clan, that he had found a way back to Voss. The matriarch parted with many of the clan's most valuable treasures for passage, only to be betrayed and caged by the trolls. He killed her first.
Phelan suppressed any bitterness or rivalry towards Naomi as she laid a sympathetic hand on her shoulder. This girl had lost her entire family due to Saro.
I'm sorry.
My mother, the matriarch, was so worried about the dangers of this new world that she ignored those of the old. Isolation was a mistake,
Naomi said. Her voice cracked, betraying the knot of emotions she was keeping suppressed. Phelan's instincts wanted her to chase Naomi away from Ash. She had only recently claimed him as her man. Yet, she needed someone to watch over him, and while she wanted to stay by his side, she had to get her sister settled back home and find the other freed slaves places to stay. Naomi could do that. The way she looked at Ash with devotion made Phelan sure she would allow no harm to come to him. She was unsure if that look was from a cultural aspect or just hero worship for the man that saved her. Maybe a combination of both.
Naomi, watch over him while Lily and I get everyone settled,
Phelan said as she and Lily left. She cast one last look at the ice salamander girl kneeling before the cot watching Ash. She knew little about ice salamander culture, but in most paranormal cultures, harems were common. She wondered how Ash would handle this new attention once he woke.
Cleo's sisters were able to clean up District 71 of any remaining trolls loyal to Sero the next day, and installed a new district boss, a troll named Reyna,